everyone, and a warm welcome back to the YSF podcast for what is episode 8 and our first of the 2020-2021 academic year. All of us at YSF hope the return to school and indeed the final months of last term went well, and that PE is playing its part in supporting the well-being of your pupils. Now, loyal listeners, and hello to both of you, will no doubt recall that our last episode came out on March the 2nd. But here we are in September, and the world is in a very different place. COVID-19 has dominated the agenda in the last 6 months. I'm sure it'll come as no surprise to you that it features heavily in this episode, as we look at the impact on PE in schools and the impact PE can have as we look ahead to this year. Now, I'd usually start by telling you where we're recording from, but as is the modern way, our panel are in various locations brought together by the wonders of technology, hopefully. First up, it's a warm welcome to Alex Ogden, who is now our not-so-new PE and school sport lead at Yorkshire Sport Foundation. I think it's 9 months in now, Alex. Have your feet touched the floor yet?
Yeah, it started in February, I think maybe a couple of weeks before lockdown. So it was a baptism of fire, to say the least. But yeah, delighted to be here on my first podcast debut.
First of many, I'm sure, after your Radio Leeds appearances earlier in the year. It's a second podcast appearance for Steve Caldecott. Now, those of you who are at our PE conferences last year would have heard from Steve, and we also had Steve on episode 4 of the pod. Steve is Head of Health and Safety for the Association for PE. If you get a hat trick of podcasts, Steve, I think we'll give you a complimentary clip-on microphone. But until that time comes, I'm sure you weren't twiddling your thumbs as Head of Health and Safety before all of this.
I actually can't wait for that good news now. The sooner your next podcast, the better.
I know, we'll do one next week, yeah? Yeah. I'm sure you weren't twiddling your thumbs before all of this, but I imagine the last 6 months have certainly kept you busy.
It certainly has. It's been unprecedented. It's quite odd, really, because usually you're taking phone calls and you're giving quite a clear answer, whereas at the moment most of the phone calls tend to be discussing with people around their situation and almost coming up with a solution with them. So we're learning at the same time as everybody else. Certainly when I was interviewed for the position of Head of Health and Safety, there was actually no question on COVID. So maybe I should ask Sue if she can actually look into the future and maybe look at those sorts of questions.
Well, she can do many things, and that has led us on to our next guest, and we're delighted to welcome Sue Wilkinson, MBE, Chief Executive of the Association for PE, who always entertains and inspires when I've heard her speak at our PE conference in the past. So welcome to you, Sue. How do you defend yourself against Steve's accusations of not bringing up potential pandemics in his role as health and safety?
Hello, and thanks ever so much for inviting Appy on. Well, miracles we can do, but the impossible takes us a little longer, and I've not yet become somebody who can predict the future. But yes, Steve, when we interview next and we build the team, you can ask all the questions of the candidates about COVID.
Thank you very much.
And also, Andy, don't spoil them by giving our team extra medals and microphones because they've made 3 appearances. You know, I can't live up to that standard.
We'll set our bar a bit higher than Sue, so sorry to disappoint Steve. Last, definitely least, I'm Andy Morgan, Media Manager at Yorkshire Sport Foundation. I am your host. Let's get on with the episode. So before we go on to the role PE can play, I guess, now and in the immediate future, I want to look at a question that we were tweeted a week or so ago when we mentioned we were recording. It came from Abby Miles, who teaches at a primary school in Bristol, which I think is just outside of Yorkshire. Quite simply, Abby asks, how has COVID-19 impacted on the delivery of PE compared to normal circumstances?
First of all, it's a great question. But what we've got to celebrate here is the way the whole PESPA workforce has stepped up to the plate. You know, there have been unprecedented challenges. There have been lots of fear factors. There's been lots of trepidation. But all of our colleagues have been extremely creative. And Steve very much talks about a broad and balanced curriculum, which is what we've advocated, what Ofsted and DfE have asked. And what colleagues seem to be doing out there is planning as normal, but modifying it based on the challenges and interventions they have to put in place related to the equipment they've got, the amount of space they've got, how the policy's been set for bubbles. So they've been really, really good at modifying, but it makes sure they are including P on the timetable. Sadly, Andy, I have to report, based on our last survey, that there was approximately 8% of schools who are not doing any PE, which is a great shame. But at least 70% are doing the same, and over, 22% are doing more, which is fantastic news.
Yeah, and I think, to add to that, there's the school that still have taken the concept that you can't do anything, that PE has to go. And we're working with, particularly with middle leaders and the subject leaders themselves, to try and support them and advocate that PE can still be taught in school. And it isn't an approach, and it probably isn't, is to remove physical education from the system. What we can, what we can't do, and make sure it remains on there. And that's the biggest challenge at the moment, is the schools that have decided, for example, that they won't be doing physical education until it's safe. Well, we don't know what the definition of safe actually will mean. There's always an element of risk in anything we do, and it's actually a good risk assessment process will decide what you can do in the physical education setting. And I think what is quite concerning is that if we don't actually tackle this properly, there's no good getting to see what this puzzle and balance curriculum looks like. Because Ofsted have made a commitment not to go into schools in January to undertake formal inspections, which means that there's between September and December where if the physical education doesn't appear on the timetable, so we really need to support schools.
And I think, Andy, as well, that all colleagues who teach physical education know the impact it has on, social, physical, behavioural, cognitive, and the link there. And we know schools are under tremendous pressure to catch up in other academic areas. But actually, if they are not emotionally well or physically well, then they're not actually going to be able to engage in that. Some of these children have had 6 months out of the traditional educational setting, and they are extremely vulnerable. So we need to re-socialise and reintegrate them, and that's through PE. And if you ask any head teacher, they will all say, yes, we want to put the best interests of the children first. But actually, how we do that is through access to high quality PE and physical activity.
Yeah, and I think there seems to be for some there'll be this notion of that we've lost something, we need to catch up on something. Now, well, that's a debate in itself. However, if we are catching up on anything, it's the subjects that we couldn't do while we had a 6 month down. So those children applied themselves to the homework and the home related work they were given around English, maths, etc. If they that, they stayed on track. What we do know is that every child has suffered in terms of the physical. They really have, because that's the one subject that they've not been able to do for a whole variety of reasons at various stages of the lockdown, including restrictions on exercise. And that's what we couldn't do for that 6 month period. So if you're going to catch up on anything, it's the practical subjects, and it's particularly those that impact on physical, mental well-being. So really, the case for physical education has never been stronger, and that's why the advocacy needs to appear around the need for physical education, if anything, over other subjects at this moment in time.
What's your experience has been, Alex, in the schools you've been speaking to, perhaps since schools returned, or perhaps in the summer in the lead up to this, with questions of what do I do?
Yeah, it's a good question, because, here at Yorkshire Sport, we get to hear a lot of what's taking place in schools across West and South Yorkshire. And I've had many PE leaders getting in touch with us here with their worries and their concerns and any advice that they can give. I think what's clear is the wide spectrum here when it comes to the safety measures and the health and safety measures around PE that schools are implementing. For example, we have schools in Yorkshire that won't be using any equipment at all and looking to deliver high quality PE without equipment and adapt the curriculum accordingly. We have teachers saying we are wiping down equipment after each lesson, but then another bubble can use it after we've wiped it down. We've got other teachers saying that they are not actually leaving equipment for 24 hours before it can be used. Some are going as far as 72 hours after equipment has been used. So a huge, and I'm sure maybe Suwansee may have some comments on that, but I'm just using that example to say that there are huge wide spectrums here in terms of how the measure that schools are taking. But what schools are coming to us with is a bit of reassurance around the kind of the expectations, saying, look, PE has been reduced due to staggered break times, staggered entry and leaving the school times. And obviously we know schools are in different situations in terms of the space they've got anyway, in terms of their halls and outdoor space. So some are saying, look, it's been reduced to 1 hour from two. Is that okay? Is there anything else I can try to do? So obviously our advice here is to look, we don't know the situations in each school. I mean, and what's key is the relationship between the PE lead and SLT. If there is a strong relationship there and communication there, then we're seeing schools thrive and high quality PE still take place and physical activity right across the school. It's in maybe those schools where there's potentially a bit of a disconnect and it's harder to get those messages across on how important everything that Sue and Steve have just said is for their children. So it's really about trying to give them advice on that conversation with SLT. How else can we fit physical activity into the day, and why PE is so important at this stage?
No, that's fine. And I think it's so, I was going to say from an AFP health and safety point of view, that's where we can provide support. I mean, I've been inundated with calls for the last couple of months, as you can imagine, and it has been very much about reassuring, talking to and helping people to interpret the guidance. And the government's latest guidance on the return to schools did leave an openness for schools to interpret. And our conversations with DfE say just that they want the schools to interpret and to do it into an autonomous way, but to stick to the rules and regulations. They're deliberately not specific, i.e. you can and can't do this. So that in itself is both a positive and a negative. But what's for sure is that the intention is that physical education should be on the curriculum, and you just need to make decisions as a school as to what that looks like. And I think, Alex, the fact that you talked before about different schools looking very different, that wouldn't be uncommon, because there are some schools that have taken that option of, you know, when we're not using any equipment. There are some schools who are taking the option of, we'll use equipment, but we'll clean it and so on. And so I think, in fact, we can support schools with our guidance, because we've put guidance on the AFPI website, which is our interpretation of what we think might be best practice. And the schools themselves have to come to their own decision. But we're there to support, to ensure that physical education, we're the advocates for it. We want it on the curriculum. We want as much as possible of it. And if with hand on heart, it's probably not going to be as good as it would be if we're in supposed normal times. But let's at least aim there. And if we end up at 70 to 80% of what we'd like in these supposed normal times, then we've done a good job.
From what you've said there, Steve and Alex, and I guess this would be the case, as we said, if we were recording this 12 months ago, schools are different and how they can deliver PE will vary. But in these specific times, we say there's guidance. Are there any recurring either questions or things you're getting that we can perhaps myth bust, if you like? Or is it because each school is in its own way slightly unique, we can't do that? And like you say, the guidance is that, it's guidance, it's not hard and fast, it's not black and white.
The biggest myth, which hopefully will get every school to undertake PE, is that we can't do physical education until it's safe. And I think that's actually appearing for some schools and not for others. And we've then got the middle ground schools who are terrified, thinking, am I doing the right thing? And you can understand where they're coming from, but the biggest myth really is that physical education shouldn't be appearing until it's safe. And we need to nip that one in the bud and actually help schools to come to a compromised curriculum.
And I think it's really important here to share that, you know, the employer has to have the final say. It is their decision, you know, so an academies trust or a local authority, you know, that their advice trumps everybody else's. And what Steve and Nikki and Jan as the team are having to deal with is lots of questions about cleaning, and we can't do it in case we spread infection and all of that. But there has to be a whole school policy on cleaning, because, you know, there are door handles, there are other equipment in other subjects. They need to come to a unified approach to how they cleanse things, and not just talking about PE. which is, it was really interesting. And I think, Steve, perhaps the other myth as well is around we can't do certain activities. And from day one, Aki have said you can do any activity you like, providing you follow the sort of social distancing at that time. And do you want to talk, Steve, about the removal of reference to contact sports and how that has caused a little bit of confusion for schools?
Yeah, it's that's certainly worth bringing up, is that just to support Sue's point there, that we've always from day one said that every activity can be taught if you followed the health and hygiene rules and the social distancing rules. So we ended up in the early days with perhaps a very limited version of an activity, but it could be taught. The only thing that couldn't be taught at that time was swimming, because we weren't allowed to use pools, which we now are. And we've worked with Swim England, and they produce some very good guidance on returning to schools for teachers. So swimming's also possible now. But in effect, all activities could always be taught and can always be taught. In effect now, there's been a big confusion, because when you look at the returning to schools document, which all schools are using and referring to, there's nothing specific about physical education. It talks about physical activity in there. We have got specific information about music, interestingly enough, but we've got nothing about physical education. And then it cross-references you over to the DCMS document that starts to talk about sports. Now, when schools then cross-reference, you can only teach certain sports if they've had their plan signed off. But the key in that document is that document that they're cross-referencing you to is for community and recreation settings, i.e. clubs at 5 o'clock and weekends. So it's not uncommon that you're having no contact in your school, but then you come to a club setting and then find that they're actually undertaking contact, because they do things very differently. And there are two things to say about that. The first thing is that one is for a recreation setting where the parents and students attend voluntarily, whereas in schools, you have to be in school, and being directed and clearly told that they should be in schools. So it's very, very important that we have a very different approach to how we do things. Now, that confusion hasn't helped, because when you transfer over, you then say, are we teaching this sport? But actually, you're not, unless you're engaging in the more formal competition, like the clubs are. You're actually using an activity, and you're teaching through that activity. So, for example, there isn't really a need to cross-reference to gymnastics, because you're not doing a gymnastic club work. What you're doing is educational gymnastics. So it's, you're teaching through the physical, you're teaching through the gymnastic approach, and you'll be doing twisting, turning, rolling, etc. And it doesn't look anything like the club setting. Many of your students will go on to work in that club setting. So in effect, a reference to the sports is not needed in your own context, because you're just teaching through the physical using activities that might look like the sport.
What's up, everybody? Ryan here from the PE Umbrella Podcast. But what is the PE Umbrella, I hear you say? The PE Umbrella Podcast is a weekly show for all things primary PE. I interview top practitioners from around the world, share my own teaching reflections and awesome resources. You can find the podcast on all the podcasting platforms, and with over 150 episodes already in the locker, you don't want to miss out any longer. So what are you waiting for? Come on over and join me under the PE Umbrella, and visit us at www.peumbrella.com.
Find the show notes for all episodes at yorkshiresport.org/podcast.
Well, you mentioned, I think, at the start, Sue, of advocating for PE, which is, you know, what we do generally anyway. And a lot of people who will listen to this podcast will be PE leads who are those advocates for PE, and perhaps are not having that support from SLT before, and perhaps even in the new environment that we live in, they are falling back on the, we need to get children back up to speed on reading and writing. Is it the broad and balanced curriculum? Are we looking, are schools, should they be thinking of an overhaul of be it the PE curriculum? Should long-term plans be scrapped and started again? Or are we just talking tweaks to make sure that PE plays its role in that overall curriculum?
I think we need to be going back to thinking. Around about 9 months ago, we were when the education inspection framework came through 2019, which Ofsted are using, they made a very clear commitment to a broad and balanced curriculum. And this whole notion that all subjects would be seen as equally important. So however we'd ended up there in the past, we seem to have ended up with English and maths being very, very important and all the other subjects being peripheral. It was then made clear that all subjects became very, very important and had a high place on the agenda. Now, because of COVID, that we were making such good inroads in there, going across schools, and Ofsted inspection reports were actually saying, talking about the things that were working and not working in the curriculum. And then COVID came along, and, you know, talk about the worst timing ever, when you're finally making inroads, COVID-19 came along, and it halted that. Now, just going back to your point there around, you know, should it be tweaked with, we still need to go back to what our original changes were going to be and what our ideal curriculum would look like. So the intent is still very, very important. So go back to what you really think a good physical education curriculum should look like, and then plan it in that way with all the activities that you want in our ideal world, because hopefully we'll get that there one day. And we've planned our ideal curriculum, and it links into the secondary, it will link into GCSE and so on. And then we make tweaks afterwards to cater for COVID, rather than planning at the moment for a COVID curriculum, which could, if we're not careful, could become the norm. And I have sort of horror thoughts in a primary setting that COVID curriculum may temporarily be just pressing play on a Joel Wicks video, for example, who did some great work in lockdown, by the way, but it's not physical education, because we weren't educating through the physical. It was a physical activity. It was great. But if we think that has replaced it and it becomes the norm for the next X number of months, we could have schools thinking that's physical education. And that's my concern. It's not a COVID curriculum. You have your planned intent and your really well thought out curriculum, and you just tweak it to stay within the rules at this moment in time.
Steve's absolutely right. And, you know, we welcome physical teaching. We think that is really, really important. But it's the knock-on effect of being educated through the physical that I referred to at the start of the podcast about the social integration, the behavioural, you know, the impact on cognitive development. Really important that piece there at the heart, you know. And why wouldn't it be? Because long-term, we know heads are telling us they are still concerned about what happens to the SATs results, which is their GCSE and A-level next year. You know, and I think they need to be reassured by the department that actually the best thing is to do their pupils well, because they will perform better then when they are physically and emotionally well. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean about fitness. And I think, you know, we have to, you know, celebrate and value what went on during lockdown, but also what we're seeing from children returning to school, according to the behaviourists, is they are not coping particularly well with the social, with the behavioural, with the intellectual, because they've missed out on that education through the physical domain. So, you know, our colleagues out there are absolutely vital to any recovery. You know, PE has got to be at the centre of the school. And of course, there'll be people listening to this saying, well, she would say that anyway. She's AFPE, but I'm in AFPE because I believe in that. I could be in another or different organisation, or in a different profession, but I really do believe in this, you know, that we make a difference through PE. And now more than ever, it has got to be PE's time to be a core subject and at the heart. And our task force, you know, have got a plethora of experts from different, we've got an orthopaedic surgeon, we've got Jason Robinson, we've got researchers, we've got people whose voices have not been heard before, and they are all convinced about the importance of PE.
I think what you've touched on there, so is something which is in a reactivating learning document or poster, which is of a single side, which brings in that physical well-being, emotional well-being, cognitive well-being and social well-being and potential challenges that might have been thrown up because of the last 6 months, but also then potential solutions and ways that physical education can be used to address those. And I guess when it comes to advocacy and going and knocking on that head teacher's door, it's saying, well, look, here are some of the things that PE can contribute. That's a really useful document. So it's been really well received by the teachers that you've spoken to.
Yes, and I mean, it emanated from the head, hands, heart. And also, it's carried on this term because we know some schools are still having a combination of children in schools and those at home learning. So it has been extremely popular. It has been used as a template and also sort of a Czech aid memoir to talk to head teachers. And we are working on scripts for various members who've asked. We've convinced the head, we've now got to go and convince the governors, or parents are concerned because they've heard about catch up in literacy and numeracy. Do you know, why are we doing PE? Can we explain to them? There is also an excellent document called The Importance of PE, which Sport England funded AFPI to write some years ago. And there are five key bullet points there that also reinforce the importance of that head, hands, heart and the impact on the cognitive. So, you know, parents can have that leaflet. If schools can download that as well. So it has been useful, and we're moving forward and we're hoping to release some new materials and some new qualifications in January, which sort of watch this space because we think it's important, because this is going to carry on. We're not going to have normal as we know it for some time, if ever. But what is important is to make sure PE is at the heart of that curriculum.
Yeah, and I think to add to that, what's in those posters is nothing new, because every good PE teacher knows all those things that physical education can contribute to. But where it's been very helpful is providing some tips and things along the way to help, but also as a visual to help when you've got SLT who perhaps are not on the same page as you, because that's what it's doing. It's a very useful resource as a reminder and a prompt to say, look, this is why physical education is so important.
And I was looking, sort of reading around this before this episode, and there was a YouGov poll that was released in February around what parents thought about physical education and the role it played. And 62% of parents polled in that agreed that the well-being of pupils is more important than their academic attainment. More than half agreed that their well-being is likely to be better in schools that prioritise sport, PE and activity. 79% agreed that cuts to PE, sport and break times in schools were likely to have a negative impact on pupils' well-being. So I guess it's that if you've got a head teacher coming back to you, and perhaps they don't throw the Ofsted thing at you, because you can dispel that myth from what Steve's spoken about there. There's also evidence there to say that actually parents are valuing that, and I guess that comes around a greater awareness in society around well-being and mental health. So if you've got Ofsted behind, you know, you haven't got Ofsted to stop you from doing this, and if you've not got parents, based on this poll, sort of stopping PE doing that, what would be stopping SLT from agreeing to putting PE more at the heart of that curriculum?
I think for those colleagues who haven't made that leap of faith, it is about being judged in the league tables in terms of their SATs results and their GCSE and A-level results. And I think you've got to be brave, because those heads that have embraced it are seeing, you know, a positive trajectory across the results and have been for years. And I think what's really important is if that poll was taken again now, I think it would be even higher what parents think, because we put out a short poll, three questions, and we have never, ever had 100% same answers. And those three questions were, have you seen a deterioration in your children's behaviour? Yes. Have you had to ask your children to do things more than you would normally do? Yes. And then have you actually noticed a deterioration in bedtime activities, times of sleep, times of waking up? And yes. And then the final question is, do you think that's because of the lack of physical education, physical activity? Yes. And I think parents have really valued now the role teachers play, but in particular the role PE plays.
Yeah, and to go back to your previous, the earlier start of that point there, Andy, was to say that, you know, they have got Ofsted on side stroke behind now, which is the disappointment, because as I mentioned earlier, for the first time we had a framework that really did say that all subjects matter. And I do remember Amanda Spielman, the HNCI, one of the talks, and I'm paraphrasing now, so I can't remember it exactly, but it was something like the lines of, it shouldn't be unusual to see a school with very good results, shall we say, but getting a lower grade inspection than one who has got less good results, because they've been balanced up by the emphasis on the personal development. So there should be no way you can look at your results and then look at the school down the road and complain if that school down the road has got a better inspection grade than you, because it may be they're doing the wider things and all the other subjects that are reflected in the new framework. So realistically, in the past, it may have been that there had been a big dominance on the SATs results, the English and maths results, the GCSEs and so on. They now are just a part of that inspection evidence. And it's a part, but it's not the overriding part, and it's not the only way where you'll come out with a good inspection result. So the more we can work with schools to show them that, we can say that the accountability is helping you now. So then morally, we need to do what's right for the children. So if accountability was holding you back in the past, that excuse, if it is an excuse, is not there anymore.
And also, Andy, you know, we've got a global economic challenge now as a result of the pandemic, and the outcomes and the impact physical education has on the lives of young people, I feel really will put them ahead in the employment market. If you look at the CBI and the top 10 things they're looking for employees, it's all of those softer skills like leadership, decision-making process, working with others, taking the initiative. And for years, we've been saying, and perhaps not strongly enough, that PE provides those, you know. And on top of that are the health issues. You know, with the greatest respect, no one's health is impacted on because they can't do a particular mathematical concept. So let's get the health and physical activity, physical education in place. And so it impacts on that health and social health and emotional well-being, and then they may be applying themselves in other subjects. But the wider outcomes are absolutely critical now. And I think if I was a head teacher, I would be wanting my children to come away with the widest possible outcomes, the best skills that will allow them to go into the employment market. And I know heads have embraced that. And we see when we go into our quality mark schools, the values on the school are absolutely incredible. And you think, yes, what lovely young people they are. And then you talk to them about PE, and they really, really, you know, say, actually, this has set me on, this has helped me to do this. You know, we filmed in lots of schools, and, you know, we were at a school, and it was my colleague Eileen Marchant, who's from your Yorkshire area. She said, you know, your academic results are incredible. A large percentage of the children were all going to Russell Group universities. And she said, you know, why is it you place PE at the heart of your curriculum? And she said, that's exactly why I place it at the heart, and exactly why we succeed. And that is quite an acclaim from a head teacher to put PE right up there as one of the most important subjects.
Alex, it seems this might not be the right word to use, given obviously the seriousness of what's happened over the last 6 months. But is this a moment in time, perhaps, for physical education? Not necessarily now or never, but has the importance of it never been higher? I know Steve said they was making good inroads sort of 6-9 months ago, and COVID have put the brakes on that. But does this present, like I say, a bit of an opportunity for PE to make that case with PE teachers of, you know, now's really the time to do those things we've perhaps been talking about for 6 months, 2 years. Let's do it and see what happens.
Exactly. If schools, PE leaders, schools, SLT aren't going to prioritise physical education and physical activity across school now, then you have to wonder why, when are they going to? And for me, it's building on, it's taking the positives out of the tragedy that's happened over the past few months and continuing to happen, and actually seizing this as an opportunity. So the messages I'm giving to the Yorkshire PE leaders out there is to try not to see everything as a restriction, whatever that might be in house, but actually use this as an opportunity, whether it is to be more innovative within the curriculum or whatever it might be, or linked to your sport premium spending, but use it as an opportunity to go right back to basics and really thinking about those skills, those motor skills that the children need to really develop and thrive and excel across physical education, the physical that Steve talked about, but also use this as an opportunity to have these conversations with SLT and head teachers. And because we're talking about cultural change here, cultural change and behaviour change within the school, and those schools that are thriving right now in terms of PE and physical activity, I have that in place. So that would be my message: is yes, the time is to act now. And it's the little bit. One of the huge positives that we've seen is obviously the home learning when it comes to PE, and many practitioners, be them sports coaches and specialists that work across a trust or individual PE teachers or PE leaders within schools have been putting out some fantastic content. They've created YouTube channels to keep people, children active at home. They've got parents involved and children involved. There's been a fantastic UK coaching article out about a specific teacher over in North Yorkshire recently. There's been some wonderful things, and we're hearing of schools now setting physical education homework, if you like, to build on that trend. And actually now, all of a sudden, PE homework is being created. And believe me, when I was a PE and sport leader, that's something, admittedly, completely own this. I didn't think about doing that. How can I give physical education to the parents to do at home? But now we're starting to see it. And it's going back to what Sue and Steve were saying about parents and their mentality and around it. And it's easy for me. One of my first conversations when I have my little boy back to me, who's just gone into year one, the first question I ask him is very obviously easy to say, oh, what did you do in math today? Oh, what did you do in English today? The first question I ask him is, have you been active today? Have you been physically active? Did you play? What did you play when you were outside? And that's the first question. And that's instilling within him that my parents see this as a priority. Physical activity, movement is a priority. And so it's building on those trends to really get those messages across to SLT, to parents, even the active travel trends we've seen. Families across the UK have often replaced those more sport, the structured activities that they couldn't do, maybe like going to the gym or going to Sunday league football, and they replaced that with walking with their family. And children have been getting active with their family, walking around their local area. So building on that trend, as we reopen schools, getting children and families continuing to walk, whether it's to school through various active travel initiatives. So messages, opportunity, seize the moment, be creative, and don't see it as a huge restriction, really.
I think that's really important from the perspective of thinking that this is the here and now that matters. When we drift into the potential for funding or lack of funding in the future, we need to be very clever this year and not lose the opportunity. So if you start with the primary PE and sport premium, we don't know what's going to happen with that. We really don't know. We can't predict. However, somebody's going to have to pay for furlough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's coming down the line. We know that we're cut somewhere. It might be in PE. Likewise, in the secondary schools, there is the Sport England funded program at the moment, and many schools are involved in this, but we're hearing some are saying we're going to struggle, we might not be able to do this because of this, and this. Well, let's not go down that route. Let's ensure if you are in it, you use the funding, not end up giving it back, use the funding to develop the physical education and school sport at this moment in time in the secondaries. And if any schools are not yet, certainly from the Yorkshire region, are not yet in the programme, the very last opportunity for phase six coming up now is to be in by October. Expressions of interest need to be in. Now, it's too complex a thing to talk about in a podcast such as this, but if anybody's interested and is not in the programme as a secondary school, if they contact us through AFPI, we will help to direct you to talk to the right people to get you in there. Because in effect, what you get is nearly £3,500 of guaranteed funding, which is, we don't know what that will be like in the future, and you work as a collaborative. So there's some great opportunities to do that. So let's not miss out on our funding and spend it well, just in case nothing's coming down the line in a year's time.
Almost a final word there from Alex and a final word a bit from Steve, bringing together lots of things. And I think we've covered a lot and spoken about a lot of things. A lot of the PE leads might perhaps over the last 6 months felt overwhelmed or daunted or perhaps demoralised by the part PE is playing or not in their school. And they might be hopefully a bit re-energised what they've heard from you all today. What would be the final thing you'd perhaps want to say to them as when they finish listening to this, perhaps on their way into school or over a weekend or whenever it is, to go in with that renewed enthusiasm and renewed confidence, I guess, that PE is a subject that can play its part in a whole range of outcomes, well-being and attainment for pupils in schools?
I think that's exactly it, Andy. They've got to be confident in their ability and faith in the subject. You know, we've got to see some kind of transformation here. You've got funding from the primary PE and sport premium. You've got your carryover. It is ring-fenced. Make sure you embed that for a sustainable structure.
And as Steve said, you've got the funding if you are in the system or you want to apply to go into the system with Sport England. And again, that can make a real difference. But we've got a plan for sustainability. We know that. But they have demonstrated how innovative and creative they have been during this pandemic and going forward. But more importantly, they have got to convince senior leaders of what the importance is going to be, because this isn't going to go away. You know, this will be carrying on for some time. Not being negative, but that's the way it is. But I think we've got to, fingers crossed, hope we get a flat settlement as a minimum in the comprehensive spending review, because obviously we've got to pay for this pandemic somehow. We hope that education will continue to be invested in. But the one way to make a difference is for head teachers and governors to invest in their workforce, because they are the one solid, sustainable issue here. They are the resource that will be around long after everyone else.
Perfect. Thank you. I guess what to say is this, you know, this podcast episode is not the start and end of the support that is available, both from AFP. There's, like we said, we've touched on some of the resources and we'll share links to those in the show notes. And there's webinars coming up, and there's been really well attended webinars during the summer and at the end of last term to provide you with more information and more support. And similarly in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire, be it the spending of your premium or just a chat with Alex or Charlotte and our team or Darren about the Daily Mail, you know, the support doesn't end when you press stop on this recording. You know, get in touch and find out and look at the resources and be there to help. So
yeah, if I can just add one more thing as well, which is probably quite opportune, is that if anybody's not yet purchased Safe Practice 2020, it was published last month, and I know that there's been difficulty this time around accessing schools because of people being in, not being in, but it's worth the schools knowing the latest version of that, which is published every 4 years, is now out and is the one that should be used when you're referencing and planning your Safe Practice in PESPA.
Yeah. And it's the best £11 a year you'll spend. £44.
Yeah. you do signed copies, Steve. We can generate some revenue for PE through that, perhaps. It's just an idea. You can have that one at AFP. It's okay. We won't ask for any commission. It's fine. But no, thank you, all three of you. Really good conversation there. And thank you for your time. I know you're all very busy, so we appreciate you taking the time out. Steve and Sue in particular. Alex, it's part of your job with us, so you know, I didn't really give you much of a choice. But thank
really?
You all.
not being paid for this.
Yeah, well, good luck, all the teachers out there. Keep up the good work and make sure that you feel free to get in touch if you need support getting your voice heard.
And remember, cream rises to the top, so you're doing a great job.
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you, all of you, and we'll no doubt speak to you soon. Thanks again to Sue and to Steve. Any start to a new academic year would be a busy time, but I know with the guidance that's been going out around COVID, they've had hundreds of inquiries, so we're really grateful to them for joining us. We're going to finish off the episode by running through a few updates, a few dates for the diary, that sort of thing. And to do that, I'm joined by Charlotte and Darren from the PE in School Sport team with us at YSF. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
seamless use of technology there, both. Strong start from us all. Now, Darren, this is your first time. You've only been with us about 6 or 7 months, I think. You left the teaching world to join us. But Sue, Alex and Steve all spoke of this as almost an opportunity to do more PE, more physical activity, rather than what some schools might be tempted to do and do less to catch up on the other academic subjects. If you were still in that teaching role, would you be knocking on the door a little bit firmer of SLT's door to say, you know, let's make sure we're doing more PE, perhaps more than we would do normally?
That goes without saying. We've had a lot of worries and a lot of fears about people saying we need to catch up with everything, the academic side. But ultimately, the mental and the physical well-being of our young people, for me, that would be at the centre of everything we do. And as you say, if I was still in a school now, it would be a knock on the door to say we need to be doing more of this, certainly not less. We've seen a lot of studies come out over the last couple of weeks around the deterioration of physical well-being, around fitness levels and obesity levels increasing. And as I say, we need to look after that physical side of the young person. But more importantly for me, it's the mental well-being and the benefits that we can get from being more physically active, and not just increasing PE, but trying to increase more physical activity within the school day where possible. Seen some really, really good practice of this. Schools inviting young people to come in their PE kits so that they can seamlessly, you know, avoid time changing and all of the social distancing procedures that they need around that. But ultimately, that gives them more time for physical activity, which the social and the social aspects and the mental aspects and the benefits they're going to get from that, I think, as you say, is more important than ever. And I'd certainly be trying to push that in schools.
Your primary role, I guess, with us is as Daily Mile coordinator. People, no doubt, I would assume, have probably heard of Daily Mile by now. That is one such way they could bring in activity into school. Tell us a bit about the Daily Mile for those that don't know briefly, but also Daily Mile Destinations, which is something that got launched just before you started and probably just before lockdown as well. So many people might have missed that.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Daily Mile, in terms of primary schools in particular, is more appropriate than ever. In terms of an addition to PE, it's 15 minutes of physical activity with no changing, no equipment. It can be socially distanced. And I know this sounds like a plug, but the Daily Mile Destinations is an absolutely superb resource. So the Daily Mile Destinations, as you said there, Andy, I felt really fortunate that I came in and that I just kind of launched towards the start of the year. And we've had over 220 schools across South and West Yorkshire sign up to get those resources. So large maps, and it's 100 days of Daily Mile with young people working their way around a global map, reaching destinations on their journey. It makes it interesting. It's easy to implement. And obviously it's all free resources. This isn't a plug. It is just it's so appropriate at the minute because there's no cleaning of equipment and things that schools are struggling with in terms of those PE lessons. So it's an easy thing to add into the day. And as I've just mentioned there, the physical and the mental benefits that they can gain from that, I think it's more appropriate than ever.
So yeah, if you are interested in signing up for Daily Mile or particularly Daily Mile Destinations and get in touch with us, go to yorkshiresport.org/thedailymile. Or look out for Darren's contact details, which we'll add in the show notes. I suppose it was a bit of a plug. It is free. Daily Mile is free to do. There are lots of other things out there you can do as well. And if you do want to have a chat, if Daily Mile doesn't work for your school, give us a call and we can certainly have a chat through some of other options that are out there, be those free or paid for. Not paid for to us, we're funded by Sport England. But if you want to have a chat about anything like that, then do get in touch. Now, Charlotte, you've been here a little bit longer than Darren. You are the voice of the YSF podcast. We are on a lot of things. You would have been at the PE conferences last year, and we had Steve last year. I think with Sue, perhaps the year or two before, certainly. They've been at PE conferences in the past. PE conferences this year, what's happening with them, with obviously the world that we live in now?
Yes, we have had Steve last year. And I think he might have been there the year before, but purely in an Ofsted mind. So we have got dates for the diary. The West Yorkshire conference will take place the 16th of November, and the South Yorkshire will be on the 26th of November. Now, this year we're running them slightly differently. There are only going to be two conferences, and they are, like I just said, West and South. We're not doing them in districts this time. However, there will be time in the day for a district update, so you will get that information that you normally get anyway from the people in your district. And they are happening, unfortunately, virtually. I know we're fed up of seeing each other on a screen, but there is no way we can have the amount of people we normally would in one room. So sorry, it does mean there's no free lunch. We have got our keynotes. So Sue Wilkinson will be coming from AFP to talk purely around the COVID response, a bit like she has today, but in much more detail. And we also have Jason Robinson, the rugby player, who is coming to talk to us that we're all very excited to hear about. His upbringing and how he became where he is today. But other than that, yeah, make sure you pencil those in. So West Yorkshire on the 16th of November and South Yorkshire on the 26th.
And that is Jason Robinson, the Jason Robinson, I suppose, the rugby player, both codes, World Cup winner, all at Rugby League Legends. So, and also doing lots now with schools to help kids be active. So a really good couple of keynotes there to hear from.
You've all... Fangirling a little bit there, Andrew.
A little bit. Yeah. I think you've I felt Charlotte undersold. And just, you know, Jason Robinson, the rugby player. I mean, come on.
I'm
too young to know who he is. You've all bigged him up that much. You can't wait to hear what he has to say.
Just if he asked you for, I don't think he would, but if he asked you for a race, definitely say no. Let's move on then from our fangirling and Charlotte reminding Darren and I how much older we are than her. Primary P Premium, always a regular topic on this, whether it's happening, whether it's not happening. We know it is continuing for this year. Charlotte, for anyone who doesn't know the latest on it, what is it? What about underspend from last year? What can schools do? What can't they do?
Well, congratulations. You've got your money again in full for this academic year. But the bonus is that wasn't spent last year because of everything that happened has been rolled over and is spent alongside this year. It's the same rules apply as last year, same reporting, same template coming out from AFP for you to report on that. And it will need to be up on your website by the end of the academic year.
And what support can we offer for anyone that's perhaps new to listen to this podcast? If they want to have a chat about how they spend their premium, is that something they can speak to yourself or Darren or Alex about at any point?
Yes, we are always here to help. And as a team, we can do that. Having conversations with senior management, have conversations with PE leads, have conversations with business managers, because in a lot of schools, that's where the money sits, on what you can and can't spend on. But it is really important that you start looking at ways of making this spending sustainable. It was a bit late for them to tell us that we were getting the funding this year. They've only committed to this academic year. So yet again, we don't know if it's going forward. So thinking about how you spend that and how that's going to better the experience for your children in your school, but also how you can carry that on if it does stop.
And if you're listening to this, because perhaps we will come on to This Is PE a little bit later on in a few minutes, but I know there'll be a lot of people potentially listening who are not in South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire, which is the area that Yorkshire Sport Foundation covers. If you work at a primary school in another area across England, then go to Active Partnerships online and you'll find your local Active Partnerships, and they will have a PE and school sport team who can have those similar conversations with you. So, we cover South Yorkshire and West Yorkshire. By all means, get in touch with us. If you're another part of the country, check out the Active Partnerships website. That's impartial advice that you will get. It leads us on. Again, there's so many seamless links here. It's like we planned this, but we're going to talk about the Primary PE Yorkshire Primary PE Awards, which celebrates schools who have spent their premium in an effective and sustainable way. We announced the winners last week, but Charlotte, Darren, you're going to run through for anyone who did miss it. But so Charlotte, tell us first of all the categories that we had, and tell us of the winners. Was there a lot of applicants in this year?
Yes, so the awards changed slightly this year, so we only had four categories rather than the five, and anything you spent your funding on would link to one of those four categories. Yes, we did have more applications than we've ever had, especially in South Yorkshire. They took off a lot more than normal, which did make it really hard for the panels to decide. The West and South have been announced, and like we say, we'll go through it now, but the Yorkshire finals are not until October. So keep checking in on our social media for that, for us to find out who the Yorkshire winners are, because we work alongside North Yorkshire Sport and Active Humber for this project. So Darren, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Oh, no, I can't wait. I feel like I need an exciting drum roll, but I'll go ahead with South Yorkshire. So the South Yorkshire winners for sustainability were Woodseats Primary School in Sheffield. The Active School winners, we need a cheer and some celebration.
We'll dig out some sound effects.
The Active School winners in South Yorkshire were Leith's Primary School in Barnsley. Whole School Improvement winners in South Yorkshire were EACT Pathway Academy in Sheffield. And the Innovation winners in South Yorkshire were Darton Primary School in Barnsley. So a massive, massive well done to all of those schools.
The same for the West. Okay, so our sustainability winner was Warwick Road Primary School in Batley. Our Active Schools winner were the Academy at St James in Bradford. The Whole School Improvement was the St Joseph Catholic Primary School in Wetherby. and our innovation was Gawthorpe Community Academy in Wakefield.
There we go, Yusuf. Thank you for that. And we'll try and get some of those schools onto future podcast episodes to talk about how they've gone about things. But yeah, the Yorkshire Awards on YouTube later in October, they'll announce the winners. So keep an eye out for that. So one way you could spend some of your premium is by getting a level 5-6 PE specialist on your staff. That can be, like I say, paid for your premium. Various prices depending on whether you can do the level 5, level 5 and 6. Charlotte was doing it during the last academic year. It runs throughout the academic year and is due to finish sort of mid part of 2021. So Charlotte, what could people expect if they were to sign up for that course?
A lot more than what I expected, to be honest, and not necessarily always learning, but there's a lot of reflection on there as well of yourself and your school. So it takes you through your curriculum, your planning of your curriculum, how you teach that, how things work together. You go through assessments, and like I said, your personal development is something that they look at throughout. And towards the end, you do a big piece of work on your own reflection and how the course has changed what you now do in your school. There is an element where you do have to teach a session and get some feedback on that and reflect on that. But it is really, really interesting, especially to hear the other people on the course and how they do things and what their school does, and just learning from each other, but having the tools you need to be able to put in the best PE curriculum you can in your school.
Yeah, course for that starts, like I say, in October. It'll pretty much all be virtual, we suspect, this year so check it out, yorksport.org/primary PE, and there's some details on there, and you can book your place. Right, we're going to finish with a quick chat about This Is PE. It was something that we came up with at the start of lockdown way back in March. Darren, you were one of the minds behind that, and one of the faces, in fact. I looked at your This Is PE video, and you're just shy of 25,000 views, so you better get onto family to get that to 25,000 before this goes out to air. But for those who haven't heard of This Is PE, quickly run through what it was.
So This Is PE, as we said, as soon as lockdown happened, we, as a CYP team, we saw a lot of great resources going out, but really directed towards exercise and fitness. And as we kind of mentioned earlier, there's an awful lot more to PE and to physical activity than just the exercise and the physical benefits. So we, as a department, we looked at how we could be useful and how we could produce something really meaningful. And we got together with a lot of great PE teachers from across our area, and actually ended up going nationwide with teachers as far as Edinburgh, down to the Cornish and Devonshire coast. And what we ended up doing was two minute 20 videos that actually incorporated a full PE lesson, starting from some simple coordination skills and then actually developing progressions and into a game by the end of a 2 minute 20 video. They are all still available across YouTube and I believe the Yorkshire Sport website, because they'll sit there now, and they're a really useful resource, not just for lockdown, but in terms of, I think a lot of them can be socially distanced, and it was all about that greater well-being of social elements of PE, and not just actually sticking on an exercise circuit or a training routine. I'd say there's a lot missing from those things that This Is PE really, really tapped into.
And all, I guess it was made for, like we said, the start of lockdown when schools were closed, equipment free and things. I guess what we want to say really is a thank you to the...
Yeah, it was a huge collaborative approach. And like I say, after it all happened so quickly, but within a few weeks, we were on calls with people just from across the country who really bought into it, and we, you know, the amount of video editing and new skills that we had to learn to produce this stuff was amazing. But like I say, the collaborative approach of everyone just coming together to produce something that, in my opinion, was just absolutely outstanding. It was a great project to be involved in.
Yes, and I thanked one or two big partners I haven't mentioned there was AFP again, and Youth Sport Trust. Again, a big thank you to everyone who's involved. yorkshiresport.org/ThisIsPE.
You've been listening to the YSF podcast from Yorkshire Sport Foundation. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @YorkshireSport or email us media@yorkshiresport.org.